Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Here. Bird Show.
All right, I think at the end of the day, Meredith here just needs to vent. We talk about ghosting quite a bit, but usually it's ghosting a date.
Something romantic.
Although now I understand that people are ghosting interviews.
Oh,
they are
yeah.
ghosting their first day at work. Or they are ghosting, they don't even quit. They just don't show up anymore. What we don't talk about is ghosting when it comes to school and not attendance. Hey, Meredith, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Good morning.
Morning. Okay. So what area are we talking about ghosting here?
So I am on the PTA board at my kid's school. And every year at the beginning of the school year, we have a list of people to sign up that who want to volunteer at the school. And it's always this long, extensive list. And when it comes time for us to ask for volunteers for things, you know, we go through this list, we call people, suddenly nobody's available. And then the people who are available, and it's been really bad this year, will sign up and say that they're going to volunteer, and then the day of just not show up.
Oh,
wow.
That's infuriating, man.
Yeah, and
it's like, I understand, you know, life happens. Kids get sick. You get sick. You know, maybe you had something come up at work, and that's totally fine, but you have to let people know because we're relying on this help. Like, we're volunteers ourselves, you know, and we are relying on these parents who are saying they're going to come help us in order to do these things for the kids and for the school. And we can't get them done if we don't have the proper manpower to do them.
I mean, I know for some parents, like, there's a certain parent you aspire to be, and then there's the parent you actually are, and that's okay.
Like, you want to volunteer.
Yes, yeah. Right. And so by putting your name down, you feel like you've done something, but actually you need to follow through in order for that to actually go on your permanent record of parenting. And I understand, Meredith, like, it's okay if you don't have time to do anything. Just don't volunteer. Like, if you don't have the time, you don't have that. I totally get that. But you can't fill a spot and say you're going to be there and then be an absolute no-show.
Meredith, if you do have a mom, and you know that pressure on moms is always there to volunteer and be the best. So she signs up to volunteer and then realizes she's not going to have the time. What is the appropriate amount of time to give you to let you know that, okay, now she's not going to show, so I've got to fill that slot?
I mean, really as soon as possible. You know what I mean? Like, if you know a couple days in advance, like, you know what, I may not be able to do this, let us know a couple days in advance. If it's not till the morning of, like, hey, my kid woke up sick, I'm not going to be able to make it today, that's fine. Just let us know as soon as possible because then we can start reaching out to people to try to fill that spot. I mean, we had a holiday shop right before the winter break, and we have a very large school. It's like 1,200 students, and it's 5 days of holiday shop that the PTA puts on. Like, we run this 100%. And I had one morning where every single volunteer, I had five volunteers, and every single one of them didn't show up.
Oof,
and then I was completely by myself. And then I had one person who finally came. She was like, sorry, I was running late, which was fine. I was like, thank God you're here. You know, I need bodies. And that's the thing is, like, we can't do these things for the kids and we can't do these things without being properly staffed. It's like running a business almost, this PTA is, but it's all volunteer run. And then we have parents that are complaining about, well, why did this take so long? Or how come this didn't work out this way? I mean, it's, well, because we didn't have the people there to help us do it, to make it run smoothly.
Meredith, has the PTA sent out a newsletter to the parents letting them know, like, hey, we rely on our volunteers and anybody that is capable of helping, great, but we're having an issue with no-shows. If you aren't available, then please don't sign up.
I mean, it's constant. It's constant, like, hey, we really need your help. Hey, like, we need volunteers for this. Yeah. If you're signing up, please make sure to, show up. If you can't show up, please let us know. Like, every time we put out a sign up. And that's the thing, too. We're using Sign Up Genius, which automatically sends them reminders about the event.
Yeah, we do that, too.
This is such a losing proposition for the parents, at least in, like, the dating world. If you go somebody, there are 1,000 bars and clubs, right? So maybe you're going to run into them or maybe you're not, and it's going to be uncomfortable. If you're a parent at this school and you ghost, you're definitely going to run into the committee at some point.
For sure. What if there was... So if people are signing up and not showing... What if it went on their permanent record, and if they ghost three times, they're no longer allowed to volunteer? I mean, I know that doesn't help you out with the volunteer situation, but...
No, you got to do something to the kid.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the kid get kicked out of school.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say.
Your child will be expelled if you don't show up for the holiday bake sale.
Well, I was going to say, because I feel like when people just ghost because there's no consequences, I feel like at some point, like, when do you stop putting on these events if nobody's around to help? I honestly feel like that's when people would be self-motivated to volunteer and actually show up. If the PTA just stopped doing things for the kids, like, okay, well, we're not going to have the fall festival or whatever because no one shows up. Now, people might not be motivated to show up on their own terms just because, they don't really care about helping other people, but they are wanting to make sure that their kid has a fun carnival to go to.
Right.
So I think it might come down to that.
I agree with that, but at the same time, the school, that's where they get money. To buy things for the school.
Find them. Finding the parents.
That's a good one.
There you go, Meredith. Yeah,
hit
find
them. In
them.
Pockets.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we've even done incentive, like come and volunteer at this event and you'll get, if you help out at our movie night, you'll get free pizza and a drink for volunteering. We've thrown out incentives out there, like come help at the book fair and you get a 10% discount on, at the book fair. And we still have people sign up and then not show up.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I was like in tears right before the winter break. And I told the school, I said, if this continues, I don't know if we can continue to do these things because I'm one person and I can't do it by myself. I said, we might have to start canceling events and I might have to throw that out there that like, hey, this event will only work if we have people show up. And if you're not showing up, then we'll have to cancel the event.
Meredith, we appreciate your time. Hopefully there's one mom there that can now hear like from the other side and the perspective and she won't be bailing on you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I appreciate you. It's Bertia.
I still like your idea of finding them.
Yeah?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Hit them in the pockets.
And if you want to give them incentive, like it shouldn't be like pizza. It should be those fairy sex books that...
Oh.
That would probably do. I will volunteer if you give me those for free.
This is The Bert Show.
So I witnessed a couple get into an argument, and now I'm not certain that they are still together. And the argument centered around one of them having a tattoo, but not being willing to get another tattoo. And I was curious as to what y'all would think if you were in a relationship like this because it turned into a debate. I was at a good friend of mine's house and we were cooking out, hanging out. It was a few couples there and everybody was just chilling. At some point in the night, the drinks were flowing and the debate started happening. And this was one of the debates that we had. So there's a guy who's married. Well, they're getting married. They're engaged. And somehow, some way, I don't know how it started. I kind of came in the middle of the argument. But he was saying that he felt a way about the fact that his fiance got a tattoo at one point of somebody that she used to be with her ex, the guy that she was with before him. And she did cover the tattoo up because that was the first thing we all thought was like, well, did she cover it up at least? So she's like, yes, I covered it up. It was there. You can't see it. He wouldn't even know I had it if I didn't bring it up and tell him. But yes, I covered it up and I'm done getting tattoos. So then we were kind of like, okay, well, what can you do about it now? What's the problem? And then he said, I feel like she should get a tattoo of me. Oh. She should get a tattoo with my name because why? If you was willing at some point to get a tattoo of this guy's name that you were with and now we are together, I get covering it up. Thanks for that. He felt like that was the least she could have done. But then now he's questioning. He didn't even marry you was his point. Was that guy didn't even marry you. I'm marrying you. So to me, if you were at any point willing to get somebody else's name tattooed on you At this point in life, you should still be at least willing to get mine as well.
With the limited information you have just provided us, I am on her team. It would be different if she was still actively getting tattoos. How young was she when she was getting tattoos, when she got this ex tattooed, this ex's name or portrait tattooed on her, right? She's in a place now in her life. People evolve. People change. She's no longer doing tattoos. So you can't force her or expect her, not force her, but you can't expect her to get your name tattooed on her body when she's no longer doing tattoos.
So you definitely can't force her to do it. But can you be mad at it?
No, you can't be mad at it either.
I say dude needs to grow up. Come on, man. I mean, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't work out so great for her the first time she tried this. So why would you want to repeat it?
Now, okay, if we're being mature about this, you guys are right.
But where's the fun in that?
Where's the fun in being mature about this? Because the one point that he made that I understood was the marriage part. That part I got. Like, when he started to break down, like, your marriage is supposed to be so important, so sacred. You never even felt comfortable enough to marry this guy, yet you still got the tattoo. She did say that she got the tattoo, I think, like 5 years ago. So it wasn't that long ago, but it was fairly recent. And he's like, I don't know. It's a name. Like, in his mind, it's like, I'm not asking you to get some big portrait. The one that she had of the other guy, pretty big on her back. So to even cover it up, she had to get like this whole rose and flower thing done. And he's like, yo, it's 6 letters in my name. Like, all I'm asking is for you to just get some letters in my name so that as a man, I feel like our relationship is just as stamped as the one you were in before, especially if I'm willing to marry you and this guy wasn't.
Here's the thing. I don't think she should be forced into doing anything that's going to be permanent on her body. That's my very mature answer. However, if you're willing to sit through the hours and hours and hours it's going to take to get it covered up on your back, at the very least, in a little asterisk, you can just put it like Johnny or whatever his name is. If that's truly what's going to make you happy, and if it's going to squash this little petty squabble we've got going on for the rest of our lives now that we're getting married, I got to be honest, I think I would belly up to the tattoo parlor and do it.
No way. Really?
Yes, because
I mean, that's permanent. You're making a request for somebody's name to permanently be put on your body. I think it's an unfair ask.
You asked a brander.
I don't think it's unfair to ask. I think it's unfair to expect it, but I think if you really do, if this really means a lot to him, and I see where he's coming from, and I already have a bunch of tattoos all over my body, he has a point. Like, what really is 6 more letters?
That's it.
All right, so taking in what Abby just said, if I were her, if you're adamantly not getting any more tattoos, then that's one thing. But if you have like a massive piece or whatever for the wedding gift, I would get the tattoo and I would have somebody take a picture and show it to him. Like, you know how you exchange your wedding gifts right before you walk down the aisle? And I would let him know at that moment that I got his name tattooed on my body.
I'd be so incredibly turned off by somebody that was demanding that I get a tattoo.
No, I would too. Yeah.
But he's not demanding it. He just feels a way about it.
He's poor baby's heart because her ex-boyfriend's on her body, but he's not on her body. He wants to be on her body too.
He gets to be on her body for the rest of his life. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey. I hear you.
Yannick, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hey guys, rise and shine to you all, man. I love the program. I always listen every day.
Thank you.
But here's my thing, right? You can't force somebody to do something that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't want to do, because, you know, for the previous guy with the ex, you know, obviously he left a mark on her. So, you know what I mean? Tattoo is something you can't tell somebody to put on their skin unless you have that kind of impact on them. And secondly, she was younger at the time, so, you know, she's thinking differently now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You have to be that extra special guy for her to put a mark on her skin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It is an age thing, too. It's an age thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can see how
you'd be. But do you really change that much in 5 years?
For 6 letters? No. Not when you tat it up everywhere on your body anyway. No, you don't.
You were totally on this guy's side.
I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
I genuinely understand.
Dude, Stacey's got a good point on line 4. Is he also going to get a tattoo with her name on it?
Does he have? He don't have one from before.
Hey, Stacey. Good morning.
Good morning. P1 here, guys.
Thank you.
I mean, let's wipe the plate clean. Let's start clean. She cleared it off, so it's no longer there. He wants her to get one. Why is he not getting one? Where we at?
He doesn't have any tattoos. I think it's a little different.
Time for one. It's a pristine canvas.
So she don't have to do it, but he does?
No, they both have
to
do it. If she does
it,
he has to do it. Because that's what a marriage is all about. Compromise.
Right.
This is The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm so glad Abby didn't do what one in five employers say has been done to them when they are interviewing people for a new job.
This is rare. Me not doing something.
Well, in this case, you messed up in the right way.
Oh, perfect.
One in five employers say that when Gen Zers interview for a job, they're bringing a parent with them.
No.
What?
Can you imagine if I rolled up with Carrie?
What?
And she would have come too.
You're lying.
I'm reading. It's a new statistic, new survey. 800 U.S. managers are saying that they are hiring people that are older than college graduates now because they interview so poorly. They don't make eye contact. They don't know how to communicate. They don't dress appropriately to the interview. But the one that stood out to me was the one in five that are bringing a parent to the interview.
That's insane. I love my parents. I have a great relationship with them. The last place I want them to come is with me to my job because I don't want them to see how bad I'm messing up, you know?
I'm not even putting this on like the Gen Z. I'm putting this on the parent. Me like too. At some point or another, you got to let your kid go, man.
I mean, could you imagine if Hayden came to you and said he graduates from SCAD, he's got a job interview, and he's like, yo, Dad, I want you to go on this job interview with me.
Boy, get out of here.
Ain't no way. How do the parents not know that that's not okay?
Like,
that's the shocking part about it.
He might ask that question of his mom, but he knows better than ask me that question. I don't know, man. Can you imagine just pulling up and rocking your dad next to you?
No. My mom did once famously walk into a McDonald's and say, my son needs a job, please, and then came home with the uniform for me to start working. But she did the entire interview herself.
Now, look, if your kid is 16 years old, man, maybe you go with him on his first one, right?
Yeah.
And you don't actually walk into the McDonald's with your kid. You might drive. I would just drive him to the parking lot and go, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make eye contact. You're going to have a firm handshake. We've already gone over all the interview questions. Now get in there and get your burgers.
I see. No problem. Yeah. If it's a minor, like you said, somebody in high school, as a parent, I'm going to know where my child's working and I would like to know my child's manager. Like that's just, I think, for like protective purposes, right? Right. Being a part of the interview, absolutely not.
Hell no.
Like we would drive because there was a Dairy Queen right down the street from my. So we would go, we would drive to the Dairy Queen. I would go in, I would sit in the corner, you go do your interview or whatever, and then we would leave. And I get a dilly bar on the way out.
I wonder if it's still a course, because that was a mandatory course for us in high school.
What?
Preparing for an interview.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's smart.
That is smart.
Yeah, we had typing on a typewriter.
We had how to make a PowerPoint every single year up until high school.
When's the last time you made a PowerPoint?
Actually, last week.
Shut up. Really? Yeah.
And I don't remember a single skill. I'm like, how do I make the 3D text again?
All right, Taylor here wants our help. She broke up with a dude like a year ago, right? This dude was screwing around on her, and now he's back, and she's all excited about him, but she's not exactly sure if his like cheating past will stay there. Her parents don't even like this guy, so she wants our help to get to the truth to see if he's like still that way or he's a new dude. Hey, Taylor.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling us. All right, so tell us about this dude and why you forgave him, and you're kind of curious if he's the same kind of dude.
We were together for 3 years, and in that time, he cheated on me the first time. And it wasn't good, but I kind of still stayed. But then the second time, we broke it off. And then I was telling my parents, of course, like, you know, when you're breaking up and you're mad at the other person, you're telling your whole family about it. And so now they hate him. And now, you know, a year has passed, and we kind of bumped into each other again. We've been hanging out a little bit here and there. And now we're kind of dating again. But now my parents are mad because they think he's going to do it again. They're like, once a cheater, always a cheater. But I don't know. He really seems like he's sorry about it. And I was wondering if you could do your Instagram thing. I heard you have a thing you do. And just to like prove to them that I don't know. This is, I think he means it.
You want to quickly explain what the Instagram thing is before Abby?
Oh, yeah. So for our War of the Roses, To Catch a Cheater, we can do War of the Roses, or we can do Snapchat Sting, or we can do Instagram Scam. And that's where I have a friend slide into the person's DMs and basically try to entrap them. Either they bite or they don't.
Taylor, what makes you think that this is the time that he's actually sorry? What's different about this time around?
Well, I think, first of all, just like being apart for a whole year, I feel like he really saw what it was like to, you know, not be together with me. And I don't think he was happy about that. So I really think, you know, he's going to try and do what he can do to make things right this time. He saw how upset I was the last time. I think he was upset too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I don't know if I'm being naive, but I really believe, you know, what he's saying to me.
Your parents are really going to have a tough time accepting this guy. I mean, they saw you, like they picked up the pieces probably of their baby girl when he hurt you so badly. So that is sort of, that's on his permanent record with them also. So I don't even know, like, something like this is going to really help with them all that much, but it might give you peace of mind.
Yeah, I agree. I think To Catch a Cheater will definitely help you. But as far as your parents, I don't think that there's anything you can do to prove that he's changed. I think that he has to prove that he's changed, and that can only really be done with time. So I think maybe if he's around long enough and they see a difference and a change in behavior, that maybe they'll eventually come around. But I think that's going to take a lot of time.
Taylor, did we clarify? Did I miss? Does he know that your parents know that he cheated on you?
Yes, okay. He does know that. I feel like he's really been trying to make an effort because of that, but they're just not having it at all.
Okay,
so we can do this for you. I think your expectation has to be like, okay, maybe I'll get peace of mind and I can tell my parents that, but it's going to take them, like you guys said, I think a longer time than just this. So we can do it for you if you want. Sure.
It's going to take marriage and 3 kids.
Even then. Yeah. Keep an eye on it. All right, Taylor, hold on. We'll get some info and we'll do it tonight, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Bye-bye.
The Bird Show.
There is a cliche when it comes to tattoos that if everything is going great in your relationship and you decide to get matching tattoos with your significant other or the person that's important to you right now, relationship is doomed. Doomed. Cassie's thinking about going in.
Well, my husband's the one who brought it up. So my husband has 5 tattoos and he's got plans for like 8 more or something like that. He's got it all mapped out, including a sleeve. And I have zero tattoos. And I flirted with the idea in the past. I guess I couldn't commit ever. Like I thought about a fleur-de-lis because I grew up in Louisiana, or a really simple wave, or like the Welsh dragon, which is where I was born. And just nothing felt like important enough to put on my body permanently. Now, I love tattoos. I love them. I'm the annoying person who's like, tell me about your tattoo. What does it mean? Because I think a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them have stories. And I think it's a really cool way, like for some people, when you put it on your skin permanently, it means something really important to you. And I want to know about that story if you want to share it. I just don't have anything interesting enough to permanently put on my body. But then my husband was like, we should get matching tattoos. And I think it's going to be for the kids is what he was insinuating. And I was like, I love it. But, I mean, there's nothing more permanent than children. I'm not going to get rid of them. But also, a little part of me is like, I don't know if I want that to be my first tattoo. Mm-hmm. And that it's a matching tattoo with my husband feels like the kiss of death. I don't know. It's weird. But I got obsessed with, like, Inkbox and those temporary tattoos that last for, like, 3 weeks and they look real. I love them so much. But I'm afraid as soon as I get an actual tattoo, I'm going to be like, I don't like it. Can you take it off? But you can't.
So his idea is let's get a matching tattoo that honors the kids, right?
Yes.
And I think with your journey into motherhood and like kind of losing part of your identity, and if this is your first tattoo, I think it should be something like not kid oriented.
I like that idea, especially because I know what he has planned for the kid's tattoo, which is super, super cool for him. I don't want that on me.
I feel like this is a chance for you to be like selfish and make it solely about you, like something for you. Because as a mom, everything you do is for your kids. And I'm not saying don't get a tattoo to honor your kids. I have plenty of friends who have tattoos that have honored their kids. but just you've been so open and vocal and vulnerable about your motherhood journey and postpartum and struggling with losing yourself and finding this new path that I feel like your first tattoo, if you had other tattoos, get the kid tattoo. But for your first tattoo, I think it should be just for you.
Maybe I'll get my own face from my 20s and be like in memoriam.
I think you should tell both kids that you're only going to get one of their faces tattooed on your body. And they've got 1 year to be that person.
I am not getting a face on my body. All right. The ones who can do good face portraits are way out of my budget.
Kaylee worked at a tattoo place for a very, very, very long time. Is the cliche generally true? Or would you even know that the couple broke up after getting the tattoo?
Well, I didn't follow everyone's life who came in and decided to get somebody's name or face or whatever. But yeah, I don't know that it's bad luck, but it's just, it's stupid. I mean, Cassie, if you want to get your husband's face between two ferns, I think that would be pretty amazing, right?
He looks like Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. And you could always just point to, hey, it's Zach. But yeah, I mean, I get the whole story thing behind it, but if you want, just tell them the story. I mean, like, if you really, like, about, you know, how you met or whatever it is that the tattoo is symbolizing. I wouldn't do it. I think it is. It always normally ends up bad. And then you have to cover it up or get it lasered. And then your skin's jacked up for life. And so, you know.
So, Kaylee, all the tattoos you have, not one of them is dedicated to your wife, Erin?
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, sort of, kind of. I've got some themes on my body where I have chosen, like, I've got two girls' faces, but
not my wife's.
Yeah, who's?
I used my wife's picture as a
guide.
Guide, but yeah, it's
but
yeah,
it's, but so, it's not her.
But yeah, no one like.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let's stay here for a second.
Yeah.
This was a no question. So what?
Never. It really was.
It's complicated.
So you got a picture of two faces, female faces on your body that you used your wife's face for inspiration, but it's not your wife's face.
Well, it is. Well, I mean, that's due to interpretation.
Is like, one of your themes regret?
No, not at all.
No, but Erin has one that is.
No, like on my left arm where it's got a full sleeve, you know, there was one point in my life where my grandfather had passed away. It was kind of a dark time. I broke up with a girlfriend of 5 years. I didn't use her face, but I found a beautiful picture of, so I just wanted to symbolize, like, a girl's face. So, but it wasn't like that girl.
Okay. Well, can you send me those pictures? Because it sounds really pretty. I'll just use that. Right.
Yeah. You can do that. We can duplicate it.
Hey, Brandy, we have about 10 seconds here, but I think this is a great idea for Cassie.
Yes, actually, I'm doing it for my daughter also. My son, when he got old enough, he had written, I love you, Mommy, and it's up under my forearm with his nickname on it. And I also have my sister who passed away's handwriting on my collarbone.
Okay.
So if your kids, if you want to do something with your kids, just wait a little older until they can do something for you.
No, I think you should do it now. Yes, have them do something and whatever they create.
Enrolling them in calligraphy classes today.
No. Today you go home, have Hazel write something, have Max write something, and then we put it on the website and listeners decide what you get tattooed on your body.
Make sure they're not going to be a serial killer first before you go putting their names on you. Because, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, you wouldn't want, like, his name on you at that point.
Okay, well, no problem.
Where did that come from? At what year do you determine that my kid's going to be a serial killer?
Or not be a serial killer. I don't know. Wait till they're an adult and see how they turn out.
The same year he determines it's actually his wife's face on his arm.
That escalated so quick.
Very fast.
Hey, The Burt Show.
I experienced the kind of technology yesterday that I love that I know Kristen is absolutely going to be freaked out by. Have you guys gone through one of those just walkout stores from Amazon yet?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait. Yes, I have.
Is there one here?
Yes, in Truist. So these Amazon just walkout stores are this one in particular. It's at section 131. I know that because that's where our tickets were. And it's a big Crown Royale sign all across of it, right? Right. You go up there, you give them your credit card, you swipe it, right? For your purchase before you even go into this closed off area. You swipe your credit card, you go in there, you get your food items, and then you just walk out. And on the way out, somewhere there is a camera or something figuring out what's in your hands, and you just walk out of there. I got some booze yesterday, walked right out of there. As I walked out, he's like, hey, the only rule we got here is that you got to open it up, because I guess they don't want you to bring it out of the stadium. Mm. And it charges right to your credit card.
Wow.
I don't know how it works, but it feels illegal. It feels illegal.
So, all right. So you, let me get this right. So you pay us before you even walk in the
little, it's like a little bar area, really.
Okay. So you pay, but
it's all in refrigerators, by the way. So it's all canned stuff. You could probably pick up yourself a Dasani or whatever.
Yeah. It's a help yourself. And then you open it, you walk out, and somehow, some way, they know what you got and they charge your card.
They know what you have in your hands and they charge your card.
So it's just like concessions and stuff?
This is all drinks.
Because up north, I have friends that live near Philly, and they were posting over the weekend that they were at this Amazon store, and it's got these buggies with like these little headlight things, and the buggy reads it was like a grocery store.
So cool.
And you go in it, and there's no people in there. You just scan all your stuff and pay in the grocery cart. And you just go.
So you put the items in the cart and it knows what you put in there.
Yes. You like scan it and you pay for it and you roll out.
Technology making it too easy to spend money.
It's crazy. And have you also seen like the hand, I don't even know what to call them.
It's like a hand scanner.
It's a hand scanner, mm-hmm. Right. So I guess before you go to one of these stores that has a hand scanner, so you have your credit card machine if you still have the old school credit card, right? But you can go onto an app and you could tie that credit card into your palm print.
Nope.
Wait,
yep.
What?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now when you go into one of these stores, you don't have to break out a credit card. You just put your hand over the scanner. It ties to your credit card. You go buy whatever you want.
I am not giving Amazon my fingerprints.
I know. It would freak you out.
They have that at the Whole Foods right down here on Roswell Road.
Do they?
You can pay by palm print. I'm not doing it either. I am very wary of giving anyone my fingerprint.
Kristen, have you seen the one where you just spit on the scanner and pay for it? And you give them your DNA and they give it to you for free.
Our break room has a thumbprint for pain. Like, I tried to do it the other day. I didn't know how to set it up, but I was like, this would be great. I can stop bringing my phone into the break room every time I need a little snacky snack.
I do like this for the people who constantly forget their wallet, though. Don't matter. Give me your hand.
Right? You can't forget a hand.
No.
I'm so
your
sorry.
Hand is on you, right?
But I thought of that and I went through there yesterday and I'm like, Kristen would be totally freaking out right now.
Yeah, that would make me feel odd.
Hey, Lisa, good morning. You are part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I was just calling to let you guys know how that Amazon store works.
Yeah.
They have this new system where they have tags that there's something that reads the tags. But anyway, they put these on your products, and they know the price. They know what's on it. So when you leave the store does a scan and knows that these three things are missing, and it charges your card.
But how do they know it's my card to charge?
Mm.
Because do they allow multiple people in there at a time? Because we have a cooler system where I work, and when you open the cooler door, you have to swipe your card at the cooler door.
No.
And when you close the cooler, it does a scan, and all the items that are missing are now charged to your card.
No, this wasn't
so
what
that's the way ours works.
This wasn't like that, because I've used something like that. Like, if you're in a hotel, if you pull any kind of item out of the refrigerator, there's technology now that it knows what you pulled out and it charges you. This was not like that. So Amanda and I both walked in. She ended up with like a beer in her hand. I had a beer in my hand. And as we walked out, it just charged my credit card.
That is odd.
It's so
So I don't know where the cameras are.
How did they know to put both drinks on your credit card? Like, how
no,
did they know?
No, no.
How did they know she was on your credit card?
I don't know.
I looked it up. It's a combination of computer vision, object recognition, advanced sensors, deep machine learning models, and AI. So it probably scans your face, would be my guess, and links your face to the credit card.
I'm not looking at that.
It was awesome. It was really awesome.
That's too advanced.
Sure, I'm going to have to cancel all of my credit cards today, but man, that was fun.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.